Welcome to the HDFN edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the HDFN community.
Hello, this is Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. We're at the 20th World Congress in Fetal Medicine, taking place in Valencia, Spain. Our guest is Derek de Winter, a doctor with Leiden University in the Netherlands, and St. Quinn, a Dutch nonprofit that focuses on diagnostics and blood transfusion. He's coordinating investigator of the Dialysis Study, which is an international retrospective registry on hemolytic disease of the fetus and newborn, otherwise known as HDFN. Thank you, Derek, for being with us.
Thank you very much.
So what is HDFN exactly, and what is the significance of your study?
So HDFN, or as you explained, hemolytic disease of the fetus and newborn, is an alloimmune complication of pregnancies in which mothers may form alloantibodies, or just antibodies, that are directed against the red cells of the fetus. And through that, that may cause a destruction of the fetal red blood cells. And if that is left untreated, that may cause a fetal anemia, which could also be life-threatening. And that is currently being treated in multiple centers across the world. And one of the centers that treats it in the Netherlands is the Leiden University.
Is HDFN the same as rhesus disease, or is there a difference?
It is the same. We used to call it rhesus disease. That's because rhesus is the most common blood group to which those alloantibodies were formed. But currently we know that there are more blood groups that cause to which antibodies can be formed that cause HDFN. So that's why we moved to HDFN. But in the walkways, we can still call it rhesus disease.
But it's still the same disease. Okay.
Yeah.
And so this basically affects every potential mother who is Rh negative?
Not all. It only affects the mothers that are rhesus negative that have a baby with a rhesus positive blood cell. And that's only if the father is rhesus positive in that case.
And what percentage of the world's populations does this account for?
That's a rather difficult question. It largely varies across countries. We know that the Caucasian population is roughly about 15% rhesus negative. And if you move to, for example, Africa, it's about 2-3%, but also depending on what region you're looking at. So overall, it's still a vast majority of the population that's rhesus negative, and also a lot of potential pregnancies that could be complicated by HDFN.
So this is Rh negative regardless of the actual blood type, whether it's O, A, B, or AB?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so
it's just about the positive or the minus behind.
Okay. So what is the significance of this study? How did the Dialysis Registry come about, and what does that word Dialysis actually mean?
I'll first tackle the first question. The Dialysis Study was researcher-initiated through a collaboration between the Leiden University Medical Center, which I'm affiliated to, and also between St. Quinn, which was the blood transfusion organization. It was mainly started because of some ideas by Enrico Lopriora, who's he was a neonatologist at our center, Joanna Verwey, who's the obstetrician gynecologist at our center. And we wanted to actually see what other centers in the world were actually doing, as we are the only center in the Netherlands that focuses on this disease in terms of fetal treatment. So we know very well what's happening within our borders. We don't know what's happening outside of our borders, except for the larger centers in the world. And that is why we started with this study, by just reaching out to other centers to see if they were willing to collaborate. And Dialysis was actually a very creative acronym that stands for Worldwide Collaboration for Hemolytic Disease of the Fetus and Newborn. and Dionysus did some very bad things in the mythology or the Greek mythology, but he also did a fair share of good things. And one of the reasons that we called it is that he's also the god of wine, and wine, at least in the biblical terms, was the blood of Christ, and that's the relation between the blood and the blood of the fetus.
Very interesting. You mentioned in your presentation that 22 countries and 31 collaborating centers are part of this registry.
Yeah, that's right.
Most of that being in Europe, but also US, Canada, Mexico, and several South American countries.
Exactly.
And Africa.
And Africa, yeah.
Anywhere else?
So we also have a center in the People's Republic of China, and Israel as well. There are a lot of countries that are participating currently, also in Brazil, Bolivia, Argentina. And we've tried to not limit it to the Western Europe part or the North American part, but also look to the other countries where many people still live and that may still be affected by HDFN as well.
And when did you kick off this registry?
We started in about June 2021 by contacting the first centers. And from there on, we conceptualized the idea of the study and see what questions other centers may have. And from there on, the word just spread around to other centers, and that resulted in indeed 31 centers from 22 countries. And that was a number that we didn't expect to reach when we started.
Well, at this point, are there any results that you can share with us?
So the first results I could share are, of course, the number of patients that we have included. So we have just over 2,300 cases that are included in the study from those 31 centers. And with that, we already have the largest cohort of HDFN patients that has ever been collected. And within that, we have just over 90 cases that resulted in fetal demise or perinatal death, 1,200 cases that were antenatally treated, for example, with intrauterine transfusions, and just over 900 cases that were not antenatally treated. And in the first preliminary results that we showed at this conference, we've shown that there was a very large variety in terms of what treatment types were actually being employed and also in the clinical outcomes of these cases.
Are those the results you expected?
That is something we did indeed expect to see, but we were quite surprised to see some results. For example, the rate of exchange transfusions was one. Perhaps I should first explain an exchange transfusion. An exchange transfusion is a transfusion in which blood is taken away from the baby and donor blood is given in replacement, and that is to treat something that we call severe hyperbilirubinemia or jaundice, that may be more commonly known. And that is just to get rid of the toxic waste that results from the destruction of the red blood cells through those antibodies. And that is a procedure that was very commonly done about 60 years ago and was the primary treatment type for this disease, postnatally. And that shifted down with the upcoming of intensive phototherapy. And we wanted to see if there was indeed a difference between the centers in the frequency of exchange transfusions. But we didn't expect it to be this high, and we're currently looking into that with the collaborating centers to see what the reasons are for those differences.
This is the first registry of its type ever attempted in this particular disease anywhere?
To my knowledge. Yes.
So there's no international registry up until now?
Not up until now.
And when do you expect to publish final results?
So we are currently conceptualizing the manuscripts as well, and I plan to submit those manuscripts by the end of the year.
Okay. Okay. You mentioned about a project in Ethiopia and Malawi. Can you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. That was also partially a result of the Dionysus study, but also through the words of Jerry Fisser, who also spoke at the conference. In our study, we managed to get one center from Africa on board in South Africa, but we wanted to focus on the other countries as well. And a few years back, there were several publications on the potential burden of HDFN in Africa, in, for example, sub-Saharan Africa, but also in Southern Asia and other areas. And for that reason, we reached out to gynecologists and pediatricians in Malawi, Ethiopia, and Tanzania to see if they were also willing to undertake a research project that would focus on HDFN in those areas.
Fantastic. We're almost out of time. Any last thoughts you'd like to wrap up and perhaps talk about potential treatment for HDFN?
Yeah, so we now have a large database that focuses on the current treatment types. And I think it's important to know that this is a rare disease and that international collaboration is very important in rare diseases to also compare what we do and see what the clinical outcomes are. And that may also set the stage for a new treatment type, which is called nipocalimab. That's currently being developed by Janssen Pharmaceuticals or Johnson & Johnson. And that may also pave the way for some new paradigm shifts within the field.
Wonderful. Dr. Derek De Winter of the Netherlands, thank you so much for speaking with us today. This is Larry Luxner for Rare Disease Advisor.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.